It's a good morning to be out in the Lord's house, and I'm glad you're all here, and welcome to everybody out there in Facebook land and out there in the parking lot, and also listen to our radio broadcast on 88.1. So we're going to start our service off this morning with number 94, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Coming again, I want to tell you it's good to see all of you. Good to have y'all with us on Facebook and outside. Remember these three things: nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things today. Also, this morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's, I was talking, I think, to Wayne a little earlier this morning. He said that the new things are running around. And look at the Christmas lights, and they were backed up quite a few places here last night. So I want to welcome everyone here, and welcome those on watching on Facebook and also listening out in the parking lot on 88.1. Again, Merry Christmas, and appreciate those here in the sanctuary as well. Let's just continue to remember our country and remember the school systems and those that are and emergency services as well over the next few days. And then just a few announcements. Today, the Thomas Village Baptist Church Christmas Nativity, drive-through nativity, will begin this evening at 5:30. So be patient with us. We're going to be broadcasting music. We're going to have drive-through scenes for the nativity story. So just be patient. I think we're going to have a good crowd here tonight, again, because I think everybody's driving around trying to see Christmas lights. I think we'll have a really good crowd here tonight. So let's be much in prayer for those that maybe come through here tonight reluctantly in a vehicle because some friends made them and they haven't seen the gospel of the Lord, and this would touch their hearts this evening. And we just ask God's blessing on everyone participating, and it's helped in the planning as well. And a reminder tonight that we will not have any services broadcast here because of the nativity drive-through going on this evening. And then Wednesday night services are continue to start at 6 p.m. And then also Tuesday morning prayer as well starts at 11 a.m. So if you would, let's bow our head. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue in our services this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you're just in control this morning, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you've already answered prayers here this morning. Lord, and we just got a text from one of the other deacons over a praise, Lord, of a report on a negative on a COVID test with some grandkids. So we're just thankful for that, Lord. And we just thank you for those that are here this morning. Thank you for those in the parking lot. And thank you, Lord, for those that are watching on Facebook. And we just ask now, Lord, that you focus our hearts upon what Brian's going to bring as a message, Lord. And we just ask you to use him in a mighty way. And again, we just ask you to be with in our the people in our community, in our area, in our country, Lord, as we go into Christmas season. Let us not forget what we're here to celebrate, Lord, and that's your son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And we just thank you for him. And again, I ask, Lord, that there's somebody watching today that don't know you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day that they come under conviction and come to the realization that they need you, whether it be, again, watching online or here in this at this church this morning, Lord. And again, I thank you for all those that are working behind the scenes, Lord, and just ask a special blessing upon them. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we do pray. Amen.
Y'all stand, we'll sing another angel song. Angels We Have Heard on High, which is number 100.
Good morning once again, and it's good to see you today. We will be in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and the book of Luke chapter 1. Also, I want to say thank you, not only for making the effort to be here, but also the willingness to not let wearing a mask keep you from worshiping. I know it's uncomfortable. I know we'd rather not be wearing it. I know sometimes it feels like we've got a diaper on our head. Praise God, we still have the freedom to worship together. And the Bible teaches, and when you see it, especially with a lot of the apostles, as you turn to Matthew 1 and Luke 1, that there are many stumbling stones for those that are set out to worship Jesus and for the church. And we're seeing those stumbling stones beginning to arise more and more in America. I do want to say good morning to all of you in the parking lot, also to all of you that are watching us on Facebook. We are thankful you let us be a part of your worship this morning. We do ask that you share our streams here on Facebook for Thomas Village Baptist Church, because our goal is to get the gospel as far as we can get it. So if you would share, like us, and also invite others to like us. But we do have a card here as you turn to Matthew 1 and Luke 1. It says, thank you again and again, Pastor Brian and the deacons in Thomas Village. Thank you for the gift and the love that you have given at Christmas. God bless you. And that's from Sister Ruth Osborne. So this morning, the thing is about Christmas, and on one hand, it's the most amazing story that's ever been, and the truth is unchanging, you know, that we have that. Another thing is when it's that foundational, when that's fundamental, and that's true, there's really not any kind of new sermons you can preach on it, because the reality of what is known, we have, and we hold fast to that reality. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me this morning in the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll begin over in the book of Matthew chapter 1. And then I'll give you a break and let you sit down as we read through Luke chapter 1. But beginning in Matthew chapter 1, the spirit of Christmas, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this season where we celebrate the birth of our Messiah. And so, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I plead the blood and the work of the cross of Jesus Christ in the empty tomb. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to breathe in this place today. God, that we might know more about Jesus, that we may grow closer to Jesus. Lord, that we might become more like Jesus. And so, Father, today we want you to be glorified. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, now to just breathe in here. Touch those that need touching. God, those that are listening, those that are watching. Lord, wherever they're at, let the Holy Spirit right now begin to teach us through the Word of God how to be closer and deeper in love with Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. And amen. The spirit of Christmas. Now, What we read there was basically the story of how, or the account of when Joseph received the news of the virgin birth, which was to be born of his espoused or his engaged wife. Matter of fact, if you read when they go into Bethlehem, she still doesn't seem like she was his full wife yet, that she was still betrothed to him. But in that culture, it was basically already married. So now let's look over into the book of Luke, which actually would have come before what we read there in Matthew. This would actually have been before that, okay? Over here in Luke, and this is Mary, when Mary finds out about the favor of God being upon her. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. If you're there, say amen. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And may God add the blessings to his reading. But even in just reading that, my heart is stirred, and I even got some Holy Ghost goosebumps up my back thinking about the arrival of our Messiah, the arrival of Jesus Christ. What is the Christmas spirit? If you want to go even further, what is Christmas? For many people, Christmas is more of simply the holiday season. It's a time where we get off from work. It's a time where we can relax and build back up and we can gather with our family and our friends and we can have a time of kindredness, you might say. For many people, in stores, businesses, and food places, it's the time of year where you get into the black. We've run in red. That's the big thing about the day after Thanksgiving. That's one reason why they call it Black Friday, because it helps the businesses get back in the black. They're no longer in debt. They come out on the good side. Even for others, it's just a time of getting together with family and friends and giving of gifts to show the value and the worth that the other one means. Do you recognize today that for many and probably most people in the world, and sad to say even in America, December the 25th has nothing to do with Jesus? Now we know better, praise God. Holy Spirit has enlightened us. He has called us. He has equipped us. We know the term Christmas. When we break it down into two words, we have Christ and Mass. We have the Christ child, the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the Savior of all humanity, the fulfillment or the consolation, not only of Israel, but the consolation of humanity. And then there's Messiah. You've got Christ, and then there's Mass. It's a common term for public celebration, for public worship of Jesus Christ by those who follow Him and who are called by His name. It means it is time for us who bear His name to make much of the Anointed One, to make much of the Savior, to make much of the God-man. We've talked about how some say it's not even felt like Thanksgiving yet, much less Christmas. We talk about, you got to have that Christmas spirit. I just don't have that Christmas spirit. So today I want to talk about what is the Christmas spirit. If you look up the term spirit in the Bible, the word used in the Greek is pneuma, which in its common sense term, pneuma means breath or wind, like that which blows, a breath or a wind. But when you take holy and you add it to pneuma, then you see what we have there is we have the non-material divine person of the Trinity. You have God. in spirit form. Look, in fact, in Luke, and when it comes in the Bible where it talks about Spirit, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, it just depends on what version you're reading, what the situation is, and sometimes it depends on the situation, but more importantly, it's who the writer is and how they use it there. Listen, in the King James, in Luke chapter 26, verse 26, chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple," and it goes on saying that he was led by the Holy Spirit. So you see even the use of the term pneuma, or the breath, or the divine, a non-material person of the Trinity is there. But today I want to talk about, when we talk about the Christmas Spirit, before we can recognize and understand what it means if we're going to truly have the Christmas Spirit, I want us to look back in the New Testament for just a second. You remember, listen, why do we believe the Bible? Because the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the time of other eyewitnesses. They report supernatural things that took place as fulfillment of specific prophecies. And the writers claim that their words are divine and not of human origin. So let's listen what it says. In 2 Timothy, we're told, chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, and for correcting, and for training in righteousness. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "First of all, you should know no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy has ever come by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So when we're talking about this Spirit or this breath, we see that the Holy Spirit, aka the Christmas Spirit, was involved in making Christmas a reality long before there was ever a Christmas. You understand what I'm saying? It was already at process, and it was already doing things, knowing that there was going to be a day that we set apart and we worship the Messiah. And so that Holy Spirit was getting ready long before anybody had ever mentioned the Christmas season or the Christmas Spirit. Listen, we read some of this on Wednesday night, but in Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And he said, Hear me now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary me, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Christmas Spirit. Listen, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, telling, riding through the prophet Isaiah. Remember, it told us what? No man ever wrote what he wanted to, but he was moved by God. He spoke the words of God as moved by the Holy Spirit. Listen, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with judgment from henceforth even unto it forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." Praise God. Who? What is the Christmas Spirit? Praise God, it's the Holy Spirit. And it's been planning Jesus' birthday party long before there ever was a manger to lay him in. But listen, there's more. There's more. I'm not going to read them to you again, but the birthplace over in Micah chapter 2. That it would be in the kingly line, 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Egyptian journey, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. The mourning of the murdered babies by Herod in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. And many people believe that the Holy Spirit was limited to just the New Testament or to the New Covenant.
But praise God, we can look all the way back and see that the Holy Spirit has always been. Judges chapter 6 verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord took control of Gideon and he blew the ram's horn and the nation rallied behind him. The Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of Christmas. Do we want to have a wonderful Christmas? Or do we have the Holy Spirit? When you stop and think about it, at least five, more than likely at least six, because I know there's more prophecies than what I just read. I know there's some in Psalms as well. Six different men were moved by the Holy Spirit hundreds of years before He was ever born with the specifics of what we know as the Christmas story. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit, the only Spirit of Christmas. All of that was accomplished because people were open to the moving of the Holy Spirit in their life. They let the Spirit of Christmas come. They didn't know that it was the Spirit of Christmas. Hosea, Micah, Samuel, did they know, hey, this is the Christmas Spirit? No, they didn't know that. All they knew was that God was moving, and they gave themselves up. And let me ask you this morning. You want to have a good Christmas. Are you willing to give yourself over to the Christmas Spirit today? Will you say, I need you to bring Christmas into my life. I need you to bring the worship of the Messiah in me. Will you rise up within me? Then we have where we're at this morning. We see that the Christmas Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was at work way before Jesus ever came. But then we go to the Christmas account or the Christmas story that we know. Matthew 1, 18 through 23, we see that Joseph find out that Mary is pregnant. And instead of, as a good man, the Bible says he was a good man, and rather than to run her down, make her the laughing stock of the city or the town at the front gate, you might say, he was going to put her aside privately. But before he was able to do that, look there in verses 20 and 21 of Matthew. It says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, is of the Holy Pneuma. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In fact, in this portion, it's repeated. It's told there in the conversation that the angel is having with. But when you look up in verse 18, look what it says there. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with the child of what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Pneuma. Now, God is making a point to say, it is not by man's hands, but the third, the non-material presence of God is moved on this woman and has created. The Holy Spirit has fathered that which is inside of her. He didn't want Joseph to think any other thing, just that. You see, in Mary's, she had natural questions. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Excuse me. Then said Mary unto the angels, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So here we see the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, or the Pneuma, the non-material divine presence of God is there. And that Spirit moved in her and brought life. But praise God, that is the same Spirit that we see over in the book of Genesis. Let's stop and pray for my voice. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I come and I rebuke the flesh. I rebuke anything else, and I pray. I believe this is your message, and I ask you right now to preach it in your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. But what we see, that same Spirit, like we already had talked before, thank you, we had already talked before, was already planning for the first Christmas before there was any Christmas. That same spirit that moved within her that day is the same spirit that we see over in the book of Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And he goes on to say, "Let them rule." But see, that's that same spirit, the one that created life in the beginning, the spirit that was there. That is the same one that created or brought about, ever how we want to put it. I don't have to define it. I don't know how it happened. I don't have a formula or a diagram. But somehow that spirit moved within her and brought life. You see, that spirit which had been planning Christmas, he is now performing Christmas. He is causing it to happen. And you know what else? I think this is a part of the Christmas story. It happened sooner than the three wise men coming. And that's over the account over there in the book of Luke, chapter 2, between verses 21 and 35. And you'll read about a man named Simeon. He's a man named Simeon. And listen, it said that Simeon was a devoted man, and that he did those things which were right in God's eyes. And listen what it says. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Holy Ghost, he entered into the temple, and he came by the Spirit into that temple. You see, there are three or four times, whether it be ghost or spirit, that we recognize that the Holy Spirit is moving in Simeon's life. And what do we see it doing? What was it doing in the Old Testament? It was making much of the Messiah, wasn't it? It was saying that the Messiah is coming, and it was prophesying. What did it do in the womb? It made much of the Messiah. It gave place to the Messiah. Now, right after, we see the 8 days later when they're going to perform the rituals of their religion. What happens? We see the Holy Spirit is drawing others to Jesus. He's put what? The Christmas Spirit. That's what the Christmas Spirit does. It makes much of Jesus. But not only do we see that, but listen to what the apostles say about the Holy Spirit. You remember, he told the apostles that if I go away, nevertheless, I am telling you it is for your benefit that I go away. But because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to my Father. And about and about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak on his own, not of his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it unto you. You see, again, that spirit that was pre-Christmas, planning Christmas, the same spirit there that was moved on Mary was there with them. It was promised that it would be given to the apostles. But there's much more. Listen, when Jesus walked on this earth, guess what? The Bible teaches us that he walked in union and in power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus returned from the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. This is right after Christ's baptism. And you remember what happened at the baptism? The Spirit came down like a dove and lighted on him. And so we see that the Spirit of God has always been present, planning, producing, and now it's upon the Prince of Peace. He's working and he's moving and he's doing all these things, even in the garden. Listen, when he went to the garden, he was there. What did he do when he faced those tree trials? He had the Christmas spirit, or he had the Holy Spirit there with him. Remember, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But then there's many other places where we see the Holy Spirit. In John chapter on Jesus, John chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The one you see, the Spirit, when you see the ones with the Spirit descending on resting him, he is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I have testified that he is the Son of God.'" In Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread through the entire vicinity." And then listen to what Jesus said about himself, quoting Isaiah 61. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Consider this. It was the person of the Holy Spirit that was there strengthening Jesus, leading Jesus, guiding Jesus. That same Spirit that moved on the prophets, the same Spirit that moved upon his mother, the same Spirit is now empowering him, and he is walking on this. And what Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the Christmas Spirit. But as we consider Christmas, as we celebrate our Messiah and his arrival, we must consider the way our Messiah's life ended. He who turned water into wine, he who loved the unlovable, who made the lame to walk again, who gave sight to the blind, walked on water, gave life back to the dead. Literally, he lived a perfect life. Our Messiah, he was lied about, he was made fun of, he was spit upon, he was punched, he was nailed to the cross, he had his beard plucked out, they put a crown of thorn on his head, and they stuck it in his side. That little manger baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, who came bringing hope and expectation. Child of the Holy Spirit is now hanging on a cross as they take thorns and spears and shove them into his side. They take him off the cross and they put him in a grave. That little baby loved me enough to do all of that. But on the third day, Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says that God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. This baby that grew into be the great man, the God man, the one who has done so much for you and I, that says it was impossible for death to hold him, and the grave could not keep him. And on the third day, he rose up in triumph and in victory. And guess what? Romans chapter 8, verse 11 tells me that it was the Spirit that moved upon his body and brought him, Romans chapter 11, that the Spirit of him of whom raised Jesus up from the dead, that same Spirit that had prophesied in the prophecies, in the prophets, same Spirit that moved on Mary, the same Spirit that empowered Jesus in his life and walked with him, is the same Spirit that moved on him the third day when he rose triumphantly there. And this is the last thing. That same Spirit is the same Spirit that is supposed to dwell in each and every believer. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. "But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus up from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Jesus up from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That same Spirit, praise God, is not only in us, but one day it's going to move on us, and we're going to have a brand new body. You see, that's the Holy Spirit. It's the Christmas Spirit. It is the Spirit of worshiping Christ that lives within us. And you see, today, I hate to say this, but if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can never truly be filled with this Christmas Spirit. It's just not there. You see, the Bible teaches that when someone believes that Jesus is the God-man, when someone believes that it was the Holy Spirit that moved on that sweet Virgin Mary, and that that babe she bore was not just a normal man, but it was the God-man. And if you believe that Jesus lived a sinless life and that when he died on that cross, he died for yours and my sin, if you believe that then and you're willing to give your life as he has given his life for you, then the Bible says, not me, but the Scripture says, if anyone will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in their heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. And on that day, in that moment, that same Spirit that moved on Jesus, that same Spirit that was here when the earth was made, that same Spirit that moved upon Mary, that same Spirit that inspired writers, that Spirit will move and live inside of you, and it will breathe life inside of you. And not only that, but it will seal you for an eternity. Listen. Listen. It'll seal you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, in him are ye sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. Hear that? Back there in Genesis, writings of the prophets, the miracle on Mary, the power of his ministry, the strength of the resurrection, that same Spirit, in a moment, can live in whosoever. Is that not amazing? That's the Christmas story. The Messiah came because he loved us that much. He wanted his Spirit to be our Spirit. But not only that, do you know that the Spirit both helps our physical and emotional beings as well? Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 23. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unexpressed groanings. The Spirit that lives within us prays in a way that we can't even pray. We don't know how to pray. Same Spirit. And you know what? That same Spirit provides us gifts and it provides us abilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. But listen to what Jesus told the apostles was one of the main and most important duties of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, when the Spirit of God comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatsoever he hears, he will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit's job is to put the spotlight on Jesus. And that's what he always does. He did it in the Old Testament. In the prophecies, it was the Messiah. He does it in the New Testament. When we're saved, it's the Holy Spirit moving within us that's calling us and drawing us. that Holy Spirit. And now, think about Christmas. It is in its purest form, the worship of the Messiah. I'm going to ask our piano player if she would. We don't need a song except something quietly played. I know that this year's going to be a different Christmas. It's going to be a weird Christmas, and some would just say it just ain't the same. We don't see all the rigmarole, you know, the tassels and the tinsels and the things and all that, and the hustle and bustle and all. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with decorations. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Christmas trees. I'm not saying anything wrong with giving presents and all that. But I'm going to say, what is all of it about? Christmas is about worshiping Christ. Is all that other stuff, does it make more of Jesus? Now see, I know, praise God, I'm excited about 2021. I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about what God's going to do through it. I think people are excited to get out. But I know this year has not been the best year. And for a lot, it's not going to be what they would say a good Christmas. But I make you a promise. While this, in the world scheme, may not be a good Christmas, by the help of the Christmas spirit, we as Christians could make it and see it be the best of Christmases. You understand that? My mind can't help but go back to the humbleness of the first Christmas. Where was he at? There was hay and barnyard animals. No trees. No lights. No expensive meals, just and those who loved him. Isn't that an awesome thought today? That as Christians, we can have the best Christmas if we just simply say, Holy Spirit, Christmas Spirit, I want to celebrate my Messiah. I want to celebrate his arrival. You know what? And again, if you say maybe today I got to think, maybe today you want to rededicate your life. I think this is one time where regifting would be okay. I think Jesus would love it. If you just simply said, I've got caught up in the hustle and bustle of not just Christmas, but life. Holy Spirit, let me celebrate the Messiah, but not only just today, but every day of my life. If you're lost today, oh goodness, I would love for you to have the Christmas Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But even more than that, Jesus Christ wants you to have the Holy Spirit. And if you feel that drawing in you right now, you just simply cry out to him and just confess, I've messed up, I've broken your rules, I've made shambles of my life. But if you'll take me today, I believe you are who the Bible says you are. Will you take me as your child? And he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. But touch base with us, but you don't have to have us there. Maybe today just all this stuff that's going on. You know, it's a heavy weight. Deaths, COVID, all this stuff. It's heavy. Maybe today you need to just say, Lord, I love you and I need you just to help me. You know, parents like that sometimes. You don't have to buy us a gift. Just come to me and tell me I'm needed. Come to me and tell me you love me, that I'm special to you. Will you do that today? Who'll be the first one as we stand? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for all that you've done. And God, it is Christmas. It is a time to worship Jesus. But Heavenly Father, Lord, as Christians, we have that Spirit, that Christmas Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that we should worship you year-round. So whatever the need is, right now, have your way. Amen and amen. Sister Nancy, won't you come today, rededicate? Maybe you want to join Thomas Village and become a part of what Thomas Village is doing. God is doing great things. Remember we talked about He gives to each of His children a gift, and I bet you we could find a place to use your gift here at Thomas Village. But think about how awesome it is right now. The Spirit that lives within us today, Christian, was there before the beginning of time, was there when it started. He talked to Hosea, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Samuel, David. And He may not have told them the whole story about the Messiah, but He gave them enough. He gave us enough that when that Holy Spirit, when He moved upon Mary, that we could look back at what He had told Hosea and David and Isaiah and say, this matches. This is Him. That Spirit that empowered Jesus, that led Him through His life. The Spirit that was there the same day that He was beaten and killed. The Spirit that was there the day that He rose on the third day. He lives in each and every believer. And in Him, I'm going to tell you this, and you can stop playing, sister. I'm going to tell you this, and you can sit down if you want. I don't know about you, but the Bible teaches that there is specifically three parts of our God. And so when I pray in the name of Jesus, but I'm talking to the Father. And sometimes I just pray and I talk to the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that said is going to teach me and to make much of, about the Scripture. And so when I'm studying, I ask the Holy Spirit, show me. And I'm not the only one. I know some of our deacons do. And then I worship Jesus as my Savior, and I talk to Him, and I tell Him, thank you. I want to tell you this. Why don't you challenge and just talk to the Father? And then tell Him you're the one true God. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you to stoke my fires today. I want to have a good Christmas. So, Spirit, move in me and lift me up. And then you know what you do after that? And then you say, Jesus, I may not feel like it, but you sure have been good to me, and I just want to raise my hand and say thank you. And you do that, and you know what? It'll feel more like Christmas than you ever imagined it could be. Amen? All right, anything else? Tonight, 5 o'clock. Is there any time we need people here earlier? Which one you want them? Dose? No later than 4. Okay. Anything else, y'all? All right, I'm going to ask you. Yeah, it starts at 5:30 and it'll be going through 8:30. Post it on your Facebook or whatever, your Insta Twitter or whatever you got, okay? Do that. I'm going to ask you if you would just stand with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, it's been good to be in Your house today. So, Lord, as we go, we just say, blessed be the name of the Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, be that Christmas spirit within us. Move us that we may make much of You. In Jesus' name, amen.